There is a wonderful memory that I have of my dad when I was a little kid. I was probably 7, maybe 8. And we were told in the congregation that we were a part of that we were, as kids, we were to write a letter of appreciation or something like that. I don't know exactly what it was framed as. I don't even know if it was around Father's Day time. But we were supposed to write a note of encouragement to our fathers. And I did. And the next thing I knew, a couple weeks later, it was being read aloud in the congregational service. Part of the reason was that I guess my dad found it so cute, he thought it should be shared with everybody. Because it said, in part, this is the only part I remember, but it said, well, first let me set it up. Okay, I look back at pictures of my dad when he was in his early 20s, when he was in college in his mid-20s. My dad was a late college goer. He didn't graduate from college until his mid-20s. In fact, hope he doesn't listen to this, but he actually didn't graduate from high school until he was about 21, and so he had a receding hairline even in as a kid, and well, as a college, you know, that's a kid age to me now, but in his 20s, he had a receding hairline, and by, you know, the time I came along, a half dozen years later, you know, I guess it was even more pronounced. And so in this letter of appreciation that I wrote, I said, I want to grow up and be bald, just like my dad. I want to grow up and be bald, just like my dad. I don't know if I feel the same way now, but I actually found out that the gene for baldness is passed through the mother, which to me makes no sense in the world. But my grandfather on my mom's side died in his 80s with a full head of hair, and so in any case, it was this identification with my dad, of wanting to reflect my dad, wanting to model my life after dad. In fact, when I was in college, and that switch had flipped in my life. Instead of planning to go to graduate school after college through some ministry experiences that I had had, actually playing, being a songwriter and playing drums in a believing pop rock band, having that take up about a year and a half of my life in the middle of college, I felt God pulling my heart to do ministry. So instead of going to graduate school, the switch flipped, and I decided I would go to seminary after college, which I ended up doing. But during college, after I decided that I was interested in ministry, I found myself listening to the same preachers on the radio that my dad would listen to. I found out once again I was reflecting and taking on his character and his identity. I was wanting to, well, either I was wanting or in any case, I was modeling myself on his character. It actually scared me to death. And it was like, oh my gosh, I'm turning into my dad.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, you're about that same age. And it's like, oh no. I was listening to those same talking heads that my dad listened to. But I actually still look to him for a lot of wisdom and strength and bounce things off Dad. One of the top probably three wisest people that I know, actually. And I want to grow up and be bald just like my dad. Want to be like him. That idea of modeling is actually something very significant in the tradition of Scripture. In Christian tradition and Jewish tradition. For instance, think of Joshua, Moses' young sidekick. He was several decades younger than Moses. And Moses would go in to that special tent that he had set outside the camp where Moses would, it literally says Moses would talk to God and God would talk to him. And Moses would come and go, but it says that Joshua stayed there a lot longer than Moses did. Joshua wanted to model his life on his mentor. Wanted to follow that example. Rabbi Paul tells the congregations that he writes to, You are like my children. I'm like your father. I've given birth to your congregations. And so imitate me. Follow me as I follow Messiah, he said. Follow my example. In Jewish tradition, there's even the idea that disciples of particular rabbis would spend time with their teacher and take on all their attributes, all their patterns of behavior, some of them rather intense and private, but to the point you tie your shoes like your teacher ties their shoes. And even more intimate graphic things in life. You'd model just like your mentor. This idea of mentoring, of coaching, is huge in our society today. Every book on leadership that I come across talks about different ways to both receive instruction, teaching, mentoring, and then how to train, develop, teach others as well, to pass that on. You know, the great thing about the patriarchs is that Isaac received the impact of God's involvement in his dad's life, and Isaac passed it on to Jacob. There's many chapters of stories about Abraham and many chapters in the life described of the life of Jacob, but very few, only like two stories. There's only like two stories about Isaac that comprise about a chapter and a half. Very little material about Isaac in the book of Genesis. But one of the greatest significant things was that he passed the tradition on. He was a wonderful teacher, mentor, not perfect, we see that in the text, but he was a link in the chain of greatness from Abraham to his grandsons, who became the leaders of the tribes of Israel. In Ephesians, our study for the past 5 months now, we come to the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5 of Rabbi Paul's book to the Ephesians. And he has something to tell us about mentoring, about reflecting our teachers. To set the context, in verses 25 through 31 of chapter 4, Rabbi Paul tells them to take off the things they don't need, like a garment. Take off anger. Take off stealing. Take off quarreling and shouting at each other. Take off the habit of lying. Take these things off, and instead, verse 32, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other. Be kind to one another, compassionate, and forgiving. And last week I talked about how these are actually aspects of God's character. God, we see in his description of himself in Exodus chapter 34. Remember when Moses was up there on Mount Sinai and Moses kept pushing in to God's presence after Moses had convinced God to forgive the people for the sin of the golden calf. He said it was as if Moses thought, okay, God's met me here. I'm going to push in a step further. And Moses said, okay, God, I want to know who you are. I want, as he put it, I want to see your glory. In other words, your character, your identity. And so God allowed Moses a vision of himself. And what did Moses see? Moses saw 13 different traits. Paul in Galatians calls them the fruit of the Spirit. But there in Exodus, Moses sees that God is chesed. He is kind. He sees that he is rahum. He is compassionate. He sees that God noseh avon. He carries iniquities. Literally, he forgives the iniquities and sin of his people. Here, Rabbi Paul picks up those characters, those characteristics of God, and he says, so this is how you are to act. You are to be kind and compassionate and forgiving. But then we see this week that Paul isn't just satisfied to say that we are to take on God's character, that we are literally to put God on, to dress ourselves in God's presence and character. It says, verse 1 of chapter 5, "Therefore be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love, just as Messiah also loved us and gave himself up for us as an offering, a sacrifice to God for a fragrant aroma." We are to live a just as life. Look at verse 32 of chapter 4. "We're to be kind, compassionate, and forgiving each other." Literally, by the way, the word there for each other is yourselves. "Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving yourselves." Plural, in unity. But then note, "just as," just actually as God in Messiah also forgave you. And then look at verse 2 of chapter 5. He says, "walk in love." Some versions say, "live a life of love," or "live in love." It literally says "walk," which is a very Jewish idea. The way that Jewish life is expressed is in terms of halakha, the instructions, the way of life. Literally, it means your walk. And so here, in a very Jewish way, Rabbi Paul says, "walk in love, just as Messiah also loved us." Walk in love just as. Two verses earlier in verse 32, he said, "be kind, compassionate, forgiving, just as God also forgave you." A just as lifestyle. We actually, not only do we put on God's character, we talked about last week, putting on his attributes, if you want to call them the gifts of the Spirit, but we actually come in that way to imitate God himself, to reflect him. This, by the way, is the one and only place in all of Scripture where it tells us to imitate God. I was actually a little surprised by that. I didn't realize that until I was studying this week, and I came across that statement in one of the commentators. I hear that in different places a lot. I was surprised to hear that this is the one and only place. It doesn't even show up in the Tanakh, in the prophets, in the Torah. Imitate God. Rav Shaul is pushing us further than just dressing ourselves in God. He wants us to recognize that we're not just carrying God, but we are reflecting God himself. We are imitating God. All of these things that we receive from God, his kindness, his compassion, his forgiveness, that list that we recited during the Amidah in Sim Shalom, we thank God for his life, blessings, sustenance, peace. I can't recite them all now. All of these we receive from God, but Rabbi Paul is encouraging us to have a just as lifestyle, just as God has loved you, just as God has forgiven you, just as God has given you peace, just as God has given you life. You are to reflect those to one another. Be imitators of God. Forgiving just as God forgave you. Yeshua, even at one point, pushes this to say that in the same way we forgive others is the way God forgives us. You know, you'll cut a lot of anger, you'll cut a lot of bitterness out of your life as forgiveness is learned. But we need to recognize that God has forgiven us. And so if we can't forgive, we're not living a just as life. God's forgiven us, but the forgiveness stops with us. It doesn't extend to others. Remember, whatever blessing God gives you in your life, it is for someone else. They flow. We are merely conduits for God's life and peace and blessing and forgiveness and kindness. And if we don't live a just as lifestyle, it's like the drain gets a plug in it. It can't flow. You are a reflection of God's forgiveness to others. But when we refuse to forgive, it's like God's forgiveness even for us is halted. Also, along with this, remember in the past we've talked about how our blessing and deliverance is not complete until someone else praises God for it. We saw that in a teaching from Psalm 40. Our blessing is not complete until it impacts someone else. And the same with forgiveness. If God's forgiveness doesn't flow through us, then it's His forgiveness is not effective in our life. His blessing is not for you alone. His forgiveness in your life is not for you alone. It is to flow through you. We are to live a just as He did kind of lifestyle. And just to make sure that we understand what He means by just doing it actually like God, He repeats the exact same phrase in chapter 5, verse 2, this time talking about love. Verse 32 is about forgiveness. Verse 2 is about love. He says, walk in love, just as actually Messiah also loves. The same thing. If we refuse to walk in demonstrating love, it's both a sign it's a sign of the failure in our life to receive God's love. It's also a catalyst, a plug on God's love. We're preventing God's love in our lives if it's not flowing out of us to someone else. Walk in love just as actually Messiah has also loved us. It's interesting to me that Ephesians says, uses the verb to love more than any other book in the New Covenant Scriptures. Ephesians uses the noun love the second most. I think 1 Corinthians is the most, has that chapter on love. But Ephesians uses the noun the second most number of times. And Corinthians is twice the length as Ephesians. Love, both the noun and the verb, is at the heart, one of the hearts of our relationship to the Most High, described here in Ephesians. He says, well, let me illustrate the need for this kind of love in our life. Not too long ago, I heard a description on NPR. Yes, sometimes I am tempted and succumb to listen to that. They were talking about a survey that was done among young people, I believe age 16 to 24. And the question that was asked about their dating relationships was a very intriguing one. And heard it as I was driving my car, and I never went home and looked it up on the internet to find out, to read the article and to find out and log what they were quoting, but I heard it, though I can't reference it. The question that was asked to today's millennials was, in your dating relationships, which is more important, to love or be loved? And they played the clips, the answers from different young people, I think up to age, mid-20s or so. And at first those are important. And then the questioner would push and say, if you had to say which is more important, do you want to be loved or do you want to be loving, which is more important to you? And the answer came back a significant number of times, to be loved is more important than to love someone else. I was so sad that if there's one thing that millennials are able to do in our society, it is to be able to identify with others. It's this very strong undercurrent, not always adapted appropriately, but there's this strong emphasis on justice and being able to identify with others and stand with others. But it was interesting how the responses on this survey demonstrated that those lessons haven't fully been learned. I'd rather be loved than to love someone else. And the problem is there's not an understanding of that source of love that flows through us. If I can't love, I'm not going to be loved, is what Rav Shaul is saying. Just like forgiveness has its source in God, love or forgive others like God has forgiven, so we love others like God has loved. The problem is we don't have a relationship, a connection with the source of love. As it says, walk in love just as Messiah loved. And in fact, not only loved, but gave himself as a sacrifice. Next Sabbath, by the way, we're going to talk about, because it's the Sabbath during Passover, we're going to talk about what does it mean that Messiah is our sacrifice, a fragrant aroma to God. Israel came out of Egypt at Passover. There's, in the Exodus story, it's not about their sins. But yet, Messiah died on Passover, and it said that he's the lamb that takes away our sins. Why did Messiah die on Passover and not Yom Kippur, which is the holiday that deals with sins? But we're going to find out that there is a root, a connection at Passover to sin and forgiveness. And we'll be talking about that part of verse 2 next week. That was a little commercial. But notice one more thing. I started out with my story about dad, and I loved my dad. I wanted to grow up and be bald just like him. And then I grew up and listened to the same doggone preachers that he did. It's like, oh, what am I doing? What am I becoming? It's because of the relationship with dad. A dad who cares and walks. A dad who when I played in that band, would show up at our concerts, the ones that we played in the area near where he lived. He bought some earplugs. But he'd come and play, and then he'd come and listen, but then he'd even give pointers. He'd share and critique, you know. Well, I like the way that you guys did it, and on our CDs, he even got special mention as a minister. Advisor, spiritual advisor to our band. How the father can identify, you know, it wasn't his kind of music, but he takes honor and glory in his kid. Look at the last part of verse 1. It's after it says, be imitators of God, it says, as dearly loved children. As dearly loved children. How can we live a just, actually as kind of life? Because we have a relationship to the one whose character is flowing through us. He's our Father. One that provides the kindness, the compassion, the forgiveness, the love, the peace in our life. Pouring himself into us so that he can pour through us to others. As dearly loved children. It happens through an intimacy, a relationship to the Most High. Walk in love just as. Be kind to one another just as. Forgive one another just as. Because you have a kind, loving, forgiving Father.